This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy's special edition, Aquaman.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere.
Hello, welcome to iFanboy Special Edition Aquaman. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and maybe quite appropriately, I've assembled the animation brain trust, Paul Montgomery,
Hang Ten,
and Ryan Haupt.
My man!
And we're here to discuss Aquaman, the latest solo DC Universe film, and there'll be spoilers, so if you haven't watched the film, be careful and come back later. So we've had, obviously, Man of Steel. We've had Wonder Woman, now we have Aquaman. This is directed by James Wan, and it's written by David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. It's a very long name. And Will Beale with a story credit by Jeff Johns.
Known for the Conjuring films, David Leslie Johns McGoldrick.
Johnson.
Didn't James Wan direct some of those too?
Yes.
And some Fast and the Furious?
Yes. Starring Jason Momoa, returning as Arthur.
From Aquaman himself.
Aquaman, Amber Heard as Mera, Willem Dafoe as Vulko, Patrick Wilson as King Orm, Nicole Kidman as Illana. The winter of Dolph Lundgren continues as he appears as King Nerys.
It's wild.
And Yahya Abdul-Mateen II as Manta, and a bunch of other people we'll get to in a second.
Was Dolph Lundgren in Justice League? This is a good time to point out that I still have not seen Justice League. I've refused.
I think he might. Was he?
Because Amber Heard was.
Yeah.
But he was in Creed 2, it just came out, so I feel like I've seen more of him lately than I have before. I'm looking at his IMDb, and I don't see Justice League.
I don't know, something about it, I
have blocked it out, mostly.
Okay.
Or just forgotten it, let's be honest.
Was Willem Dafoe in Justice League?
No,
okay. No, it's not. All right.
So,
I'm all caught up then.
Aquaman, one of my favorite characters, traditionally. There was a time even in the 80s when he was rivaling Batman for a while as someone who I really enjoyed. Obviously the butt of many jokes, including, we were talking about this as we were waiting to go into the movie, how crazy it is that this movie is happening when it was like the big joke on Entourage.
Right.
What's the most ridiculous superhero movie we can have this character star in? Oh, let's have him be Aquaman. And now here we have a giant Aquaman film. I guess let's just dive into it. I didn't mean to have that pun happen.
It just happens.
Paul did throw me off with his Hang Ten. That was good, Paul. I couldn't think of another surfing term quickly enough. I was stumped.
I was going to do one of his years. Like,
that's clearly where I went with it.
He's got a bit of a Macho Man thing, but yeah.
So here's my overall thought on the film.
Yeah.
It is a super fun mess.
Okay.
It is not a great film. It's not a bad film.
No.
It is at times silly in a good way, at times silly in a bad way. It is overstuffed, hokey.
But did you enjoy yourself?
But I had a super fun time.
As did I.
Like, I came out of it like that. I wouldn't say that's a good movie or a great movie, but I had a really fun time watching it. And ultimately, that's also important. So, is it Wonder Woman? No. But I thought super fun, way more fun than Justice League. Obviously, way more fun than Super Dour, Batman v Superman, and those films. So I ended up having a really good time watching it, even if it has faults for sure.
I had someone ask me on Twitter if, as I mentioned that I saw this early screening of it, if Jason Momoa is still doing the thing from Justice League. And from what I know of Justice League and all the trailers, my understanding is that, yes, he is still doing that thing, which can be grating for a lot of people and grating to me. I think particularly in the first act, which I think is the worst part of the movie.
Which is interesting because that's my favorite part of the movie.
But interesting. Okay, I think it gets better as it goes. I think the movie really blossoms when they introduce Orm. Mm-hmm. It sort of when Orm meets up with Dolph Lundgren.
Mm-hmm.
King Nerys. I think that's where the movie gets really interesting. And you get to see all of the underwater, you know, the world building of it, I think, is really, and like the flashback to old Atlantis before the fall of Atlantis, I thought was really interesting. And I think the movie is at its best when it is just super earnest and not trying to make a joke. I think like the comedy is maybe like it's not, maybe it is awful. Maybe the comedy is really bad, but it's like
there's a ton of
that's the worst
jokes
part.
That thud.
Yeah, and I feel like
never a moment where the whole theater that I was in laughed. There were a lot of moments where like one or two people would laugh at a thing, but everyone else was just rolling their eyes.
The jokes were pretty bad. In addition to that, before we get to own, ask Ryan what he thought overall. I also thought the score and soundtrack were terrible.
It was so all over the place.
The score and the soundtrack sounded like something from an early or mid '90s movie.
Yeah,
yes.
It was just everything was super on the nose, and I did not think this was a very good movie. I didn't hate watching it. So I wasn't fully at the level of hate watching this, but I also did not think it was good. And I thought there were a few moments that were enjoyable, but then towards the end of the movie, I was actively bored to the point where I was like, I am so ready for this to be over so I can go do something else.
Wow.
Okay. Interesting. Was that your expectation going in?
Yeah, my expectations going in were very low. I was hoping it would be a big, dumb, fun mess, and I just didn't find it as fun as it was definitely big and dumb. Okay. But then the fun I felt was a little lacking. And there were parts of it that were fun, I think, because of me and who I am. And I don't think other people, you know, I mean, obviously, when it's a lot of underwater ocean stuff, I'm going to think about that through my scientific lens. I can't help it. You know, I've been reading a book about whales. I just interviewed a whale guy on my podcast. So, like, I've had my head under the waves for a little bit recently.
That's funny because I'm reading a book on the codfish right now.
Oh, yeah?
But the history of the codfish and how it is intertwined with the history of civilization.
Oh, is that the guy who did Salt?
Yes. It's a really good book. Okay. And I found myself thinking about that stuff too, Brian. I was like, wow, there's not that many fish left in the ocean.
Nope.
They're showing a lot of fish, but it's not how it is anymore.
The book I'm talking about is called Spying on Whales by Nick Pines and down at Smithsonian, and it is also very good.
I don't know. I think my theory is that possibly your level of enjoyment will depend upon your level of enjoyment on Jason Momoa, who I really love. He was my favorite part of the Justice League movie. I know a lot of people didn't like him. A lot of people in the nerd community didn't like him. We were talking about this on the way out of the film. Him and Gal Gadot are like 1 and 1A to me in terms of really brilliant casting that DC has done.
Yeah.
I think he's a terrific Aquaman. I love his attitude. I love that he's sort of the big dumb surfer guy who just wants to get a beer instead of fighting. I love everything about his portrayal of Arthur.
I don't know if they're intentionally going for it, but it feels like, I mean, if you were to do a comparison to Marvel Studios, which it's an entirely different vibe of movie. Mm-hmm. It's like a completely different feel. And I would say that of Wonder Woman as well. And not just in terms of quality, but just in terms of like just almost like these feel very throwback to me to before Marvel Studios and before the Nolan Batman movies. Like it's like almost closer to like the Phantom and stuff like that.
Yes, you know,
that
but it's great. Still, I think it's in a much better direction than Man of Steel and Batman
and
Superman.
Absolutely.
Those are so overly dour and dark and boring and broody, whereas this feels more like, hey, we're trying to make this fun and bright like the Marvel movies. They may not have that tone, they may not have that level of filmmaker, but I think at least it's a recognition that between this and Wonder Woman, they went in the wrong direction initially.
But if you were to make a comparison to like a Marvel character, this is very much their Thor.
Yes.
The character is not as well written nor as well portrayed. There's not as much nuance. Like Chris Hemsworth has.
But there
like,
definitely is a scene where he has to be worthy enough to pick up a weapon. So you got that going.
So yeah, it's, like in terms of like the mythology.
Is that Thor or is that Excalibur?
Well,
I mean, it's Excalibur. It's not really Thor worthiness. It's more he's the rightful king.
They literally say that he has to be worthy to pick up the trident.
Yeah, but it's a King Arthur.
Okay, but if we distill it down even further, it's a penis. Like that's what all of these legends and mythology.
It's the monomyth.
It's a monomyth. It's yeah. So it's all that thing. But no, I think Momoa is decently likable. I really like Amber Heard as Mira, and I think she helps balance it out.
Well, the movie should have been called Aquaman and Mira because she's as involved, as important, as badass as he is.
She has cool powers.
She's on the poster with him. Like by all rights, should have been an Ant-Man and Wasp scenario here.
Well, I saw with a couple of friends who are not in any way from the Aquaman comics, and it was funny because the things that they kept saying that they thought were like weird choices, like why did they do that, and I just kept having to be like, that's directly from the comics. And so they really liked Mera, but they're like, man, did her hair have to be that red, like Little Mermaid much? And I was like, no, it's from the comics, you just have to roll
yeah
with
but
it.
The thing is, like, it doesn't have to be that red because they didn't make Jason Momoa blonde, you know, so they don't have to make it like bright red.
I like the way they did it with Dolph Lundgren, where it's sort of like a coral color because he's going silvery.
Yeah,
and he's even got he's got like a pink beard. It's kind of
a neat good.
Look. He also, did look good, and I thought I thought that was a good performance from Dolph Lundgren.
He's great. I'm not joking. It's the Winter of Lundgren. He's terrific in Creed 2, and he's great here in Aquaman.
He's also a scientist.
Yes,
he's like a master's in chemical engineering or something. Living underwater is doing wonders for Patrick Wilson as well. He's like as jacked as Jason Momoa, and you would never have guessed he has been playing like he played a completely different superhero 10 years ago, and it still looks this good.
Was that 10 years ago?
Yeah,
2008. Yeah, he's also a really great actor. He's great in Fargo. I think one of my problems with the film is, as I said earlier, it was a little overstuffed. So you had the story of Arthur being drawn into the politics of Atlantis, wherein King Orm wants to start a war with the surface, so he's engineering a war, has used Black Manta as his sort of proxy terrorist to do so. And so there is that happening, plus King Orm has to rally all the seven kingdoms, or how many was it, five were remaining?
The four remaining kingdoms.
He needs a quorum of 4 out of 5, I think.
4 out of 7.
But no, but one was dead, and then the other one was the trench.
Okay.
I think he needed the deserter kingdom, which is gone
because it became the Sahara.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is that you have that whole thing going on, and then you have Aquaman and Mera, and there was like 6 plot lines, and they could have very easily have trimmed it down to really focus on a couple of these.
I can cut almost all the Black Manta stuff.
Yeah. That's where I was going. I can tell you the weakest link in this movie is the Black Manta stuff. Both visually, it looks like a Power Ranger scene from the whenever they do this act. Like, I enjoyed Sicily. Like, I enjoyed.
They fucked up Sicily.
Yeah, they really messed that place up in a very Fast and the Furious sense.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff in Fast and Furious when they're not in the cars, when they're just like running around, like, there's been a bunch of like favela sequences where they just like totally destroy a village.
Mm hmm.
Paul, I had the same thought as you about the suit, except instead of Power Rangers, I thought he looked like one of the actors stuffed inside the animatronic puppeted Ninja Turtles from that same era.
But I mean, because it's like molded muscles and everything.
Yeah,
and
it just looks really bulky.
And it's in like in stark, like bright Sicily when you see for the most part. It's like it's very well lit, so it has that.
Well, like, this is 90s, the danger like, of being very close to the comics. I mean, this is the film, at least in DC, that is the most faithful to the look of the comic characters. I mean, Mera is right out of the comics.
Yeah, but that's not the only part of Black Manta. Like, I also think that Yahya Abdul-Mateen is not a great actor.
No, he was bad. There was a couple... Part of the problem, I don't know if it was the directing or the acting, but part of the problem was that there was a couple of scenes where the acting was so bad that it really... was painful. There was one of the flashback scenes, and there was like 10 too many flashbacks.
Yeah.
One of the flashback scenes where Volko's training teenage Arthur, and the kid playing Arthur was really bad.
Didn't my mom love me, Connor?
And so, which is tough. You know, I mean, on paper it's a good scene, but it just didn't work out with the actor. And I agree with you. I think Manta was the weakest link, and I thought he didn't do a good job.
Yeah, it's just I think it's just in comparison to everything else, like since it is an overstuffed movie, that is the weak link. And the acting is so broad. And like the submarine scene, That whole sequence, I think, is bad. That's why I don't like the first act. I mean, as broad and sort of cringy as the Temuera Morrison and Nicole Kidman Aquaman's parents stuff is, it's also cute.
Yeah.
But then you get to the submarine with Jason Momoa coming in, and they come up with like 17 excuses to have him look back over his shoulder.
I know.
Like the cool yeah. look. And then like the, he gets
permission
hit.
To come aboard.
Yeah. And then like if he gets hit with, you know, big artillery, he's like, ouch. You know, it's just I don't know, like RoboCop 3.
I love that fight.
Yeah, I like some of the fight choreography in that, but
yeah,
okay.
But I did want to mention that. So we have, you know, the new tech, the technology. It's not so much. It's not so new, but they love using the de-aging technology.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the film, we meet Tom, his father, played by Boba Fett, Temuera Morrison,
Jango Fett,
the whole clone troopers. He's all of them.
It's Jango. He's not Boba.
Well, he is Boba.
He's
older, but like technically, he's older Boba. What's under the mask because he's a clone.
Yeah, but it's not played by that same actor. Anyway,
in the special edition, they use his voice.
Yeah. Anyway.
Or like special edition.
And so he finds Queen Adlana, who washed up on shore with an injury, and he saves her and they fall in love. But the problem is, since it's a flashback, instead of using younger actors, they use the de-aging technology. And I get that you want to have Nicole Kidman in the movie as much, and I get that she's a movie star. And I think she wasn't so bad, but he looked like a wax person.
Yeah. The wig was so bad, or like, I don't know, CG hair.
At first, I was like, what is wrong with this person? Because I didn't even recognize him as Temuera Morrison.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out who it was. And
I was like, why is he... He didn't look human, which is a problem. At that point, you just have to use an actor if your technology isn't good enough to make him look human. And so that was rough. I mean, there was a lot of rough things, but at the end of the day, I had a really good time watching it, which is the hard thing. Because I recognize it's not a great movie, but it's a fun movie, and I will definitely... watch it again, as opposed to some of the other movies we've reviewed over the years.
You know what I thought was, okay, genuinely good, was The Descent into the Trench.
That was cool. That looked cool.
I thought that was they visualized that very well, and they came up with tension for it.
It was very claustrophobic and scary when all those trench monsters sort of invaded the ship, and then they went under the water, and there was like 1,000 of them, and all of a sudden,
and they pull out really wide, and you can see like just how many of them. Like, holy shit! So I thought that was very effective.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool when he got the trident, and like came back with the classic Aquaman colors.
I kind of wish they hadn't spoiled that in all the advertising.
Yes, I agree.
I actually liked the first single combat with King Orm, in the fire pit.
I did too. Yeah.
Mostly, I liked it because I really liked how Arthur Curry was like, "Man, I really missed growing up with you, and I really wished we could have actually been brothers." And it does kind of suck that we have to fight right now. And King Orm, you know, throws that back in his face, and that to me actually had more emotional resonance than a lot of the other stuff.
That stuff
worked
really well. And at the end, when obviously Arthur defeats Orm, instead of killing him, he throws him in jail and says, "Hey, let me know when you want to talk, and we'll talk." I thought their relationship was really good.
Yeah,
I thought the actors worked well together, and I thought that whole dynamic was good.
I think we can't let it go that they did the Batman versus Superman ending, where Mom saves the day.
Yeah, Mom saves the day. And then also when he reunited with his mom in the dinosaur, which I was really hoping they were going to use Dinosaur Island.
You straight up go to the Savage Land. It was cool.
There was dumb stuff like that that I loved. Yeah. Like, there was a secret ocean at the center of the earth with dinosaurs. Like, I loved that.
Yeah.
I liked that, too. And I liked it, too, especially because King Orm is riding around a giant Mosasaur the entire movie. And I was like, so did just one Mosasaur survive their extinction event? But then they actually, like, show that, like, I don't know, there's this place where these animals still live. So that actually worked for me to explain some of the other incongruities. The only thing that I thought was a little funny was the scene where he reunites with his mom is almost beat for beat the How to Train Your Dragon 2 Hiccup reunites with his mom.
That's true, yes.
Like, down to wearing, like, the mask of an animal to make her look, like, skeletal and stuff.
She's got, like, the rib cage of, like, a pterodactyl or something. And, like, and I wasn't for the stunt casting of Nicole Kidman in this until you see the ridiculous getup that they make Nicole Kidman wear in this movie. It's so ridiculous. It's the silliest. Yeah, like it's the skull of a dinosaur on her head. It's so weird. But that's the stuff that I like about the movie. I like how earnest it is. I like how unapologetic it is about the lore and about all the, you know, the fun stuff they're taking from Aquaman history. I love that there's like, so why is there a bridge underwater? And she's like, well, that's from before. And it's just like, we keep using it and it looks cool. And like, and she has that stupid fish car that like weird, what kind, that's like a,
they borrowed it from Phantom Menace.
Sea slug or something. Or
it did look a little like Phantom Menace.
A lot of this movie. I definitely a lot thought like about Phantom
that.
Menace.
Oh, this is a good reason to bring back around to the score again. I totally agree with you. The score is so bizarre. It goes from butt rock in one scene, you know, with like really grungy guitar for Jason Momoa shit. And then you go to Atlantis and it's Tron Legacy. Yeah. Like, it's so all over the place.
And Pitbull.
And Pitbull.
There was almost no sequence where there was a song where I didn't cringe.
Yeah.
Mira's got her own theme that has like female choral vocals in it.
Hmm.
Like
a choral, as in a group of people singing, not the underwater structure. Yeah.
Does choral sing, Ryan?
No, no. Oh. There are singing sand dunes, but that's different. That's weird. Yeah, they're cool.
It's an interesting conundrum, you know? I really did have fun, but you can definitely start dissecting it pretty finely.
I really liked Mira's jellyfish dress. That just looked cool.
For the Ring of Fire.
I thought the visuals were cool. I mean, it's all over the top, but they can do that because it's this weird underwater society.
I just think good or bad, like all of the strange creative choices and visual choices just kept me interested throughout. So like when they're like wandering through the Sahara, and it's it now that like the movie has turned into like, you know, Temple of Doom, like right. that wacky, you know, will they, won't they kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Romancing the Stone, I guess, is probably the better analogy. But like they're going through the Sahara and like, what is this movie? And then like they just,
yeah, so weird.
There's like,
I liked all the
very much like a children's or like family film from the 80s. But mm-hmm. then there's also some very intense violence. It's kind of all over the place.
But I did like the kind of globetrotting-ness of it. I thought that was a fun way to structure the movie. I liked when they went into the, you know, ancient deserter world of the, you know, dwarven aqua people or mm-hmm. whatever, and there are like whale skeletons littering the floor. And I was like, that's cool. Like, whale skeletons make for a cool thing to see in a desert, and we do have fossil sites where we find, you know, whales in that area in up like Egypt and stuff. So like that all worked. I thought that was fun.
Again, I love Jason Momoa, and I'll follow him into the depths of the Sahara.
You'll help him cross the Dothraki Sea?
Sure. It's just that some of the stuff around him was rough.
Also, man, that one peck of his, everything he's in, that peck gets stabbed. He can't be in a thing where that, I think it's his, is it his left peck? Just gets stabbed.
Yeah, it was his time. Left peck.
Yeah. Poor peck. My friend was joking that it was like, it is a lot of surface area, so the odds of him getting stabbed there is high.
Man has huge hands.
He's a big dude. Just
enormous hands.
Probably a good swimmer.
I think you notice it more because he's wearing all those bracelets.
Yeah.
And the rings. But like the, I don't know, that scene where they're on the airplane before they jump out into the desert, like it was like, man, that guy has enormous hands. Like he could like palm her face.
I think it's worth noting, we haven't noted yet, I wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing, is that, you know, we have an Asian director and we have a hero of color here, which is
mm-hmm.
unusual, but getting less and less unusual. And that's, I think that's a good thing.
I saw an interview with him when he got cast for Justice League, and somebody asked him, like, so, you know, are you nervous about playing a character who spends a lot of time in the water? And he just looks at them and goes, like, I'm Hawaiian, bro. It was such a nice little, like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
And I like that they use some of those cultural touchstones in, like, how he poses.
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. when, like, at the end when he wins, he does that little flourish
like the haka
with the
pose.
Crouch.
Yeah.
And the tattoos.
Like,
I mean, the thing is, like, does it make sense that Aquaman is a Hawaiian surfer from Maine? No, but I love it. And I think part of the reason why I liked it so much in Justice League was because it was such a contrast to the overly serious and overly broody Superman and Batman.
Yeah.
To have this surfer dude who is really enjoying all this. You don't want all your heroes to have the same personality. So to have someone this different is, for me, a nice change of pace for these films, in which there's the hero's always looking off into the distance, which I like, but when you get something different, it's like, oh, right, it can be also really fun, and you can have a hero who really likes what he's doing. And may not be super smart. He just may be really strong. That was fun for me.
I also just want to mention, I really love the spectacle of the movie. I really liked, you know, the designs for Atlantis and the sort of the different technologies that they came up with. Like, there's sort of that rotating, spiraling elevator system that they have, and then like all the different creatures. I love the different.
Well, like the seahorses with legs. Like, yeah, it's dumb. You don't need legs when you're Marine, but at this, it looked cool, so whatever. And there was one moment I know everyone here is just like waiting for me to go on a science rant, and I'm not going to. I will say that I laughed out loud when early in the movie, when Nerys's army was up against Orm's army and the sharks are roaring at each other. I was like, sharks don't roar. That's silly.
Well, it's like spaceships making noises in space.
Yeah.
When they don't account for the vacuum.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird sound choices. Like at one point there are manta rays singing whale song. And also there are so many animals that they show as part of this underwater society. And like dolphins and whales and turtles all need to go up and breathe air at some point. Right. So I was like, if you're a chariot, you can't, are you allowed to like take a break to go get a breath, or how does that work?
Maybe
so.
They have air systems back in the paddock.
It's also tricky though, because like some of them are supposed to be like robots or like ships, so they're definitely like turtle-shaped like craft that aren't actual animals.
The flashback when we saw the like steampunky Atlantean robots when it was still above the water, I thought that was kind of cool looking. There were some good
it was neat
design choices there.
I like that stuff. I like the depicting the fall of Atlantis. I really love the crab people at the end.
Mm-hmm. That was the part of the movie where I started to check out.
It's so good. Those are the dwarves.
I liked the crab people. I was getting bored, and I knew we were going to be sitting through a giant CGI battle. And so that was the moment where I start. And then like a kaiju shows up. You know, Mary Poppins kaiju, and I was like, at one point is Gypsy Danger going to get dropped in the water? And or I thought Topo might have been when they were having their fight in the arena.
Topo was doing the drum solo.
Yeah, little
octopus. I think that's classic Topo, but then like there's like New 52 Topo is the kaiju thing.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that's their way of like, because they don't they never name it Topo, but.
I mean, the other issue
I love that there is an octopus playing the drums. I think that is 100%. Like, you need to have that in an Aquaman movie.
I didn't.
Otherwise,
like
you're just trying to
pros and cons list that they had up on the arena. It was funny, but it like didn't fit with the scene at all. And then the other thing that always gets me, and I know I brought this up as part of the animation brain trust, because we'll often talk about like movies that involve characters like Poison Ivy. Like, King Orm's not wrong. We are dumping all of our trash where they live.
Well, that makes it more interesting.
I thought about that a lot too. Yeah. Well, I was like, and humans suck. Like they should be angry.
And Julie had the idea of like, if they have the power to just tidal wave all of our garbage back onto the land, they should just do that every day.
Yeah.
And that's the war. Like, they don't actually need to fight us. They just need to keep throwing our junk back at us until we learn our lesson.
Yeah, when they throw the trash back, I was like, yeah, that's fine. Do that. Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That makes it more interesting, is when there's a kernel of truth in the villain's plan.
Yes.
Okay, so what do you guys... I mean, in talking about this with Julie and the friends that I saw it with, there's a lot of Black Panther in this movie, right?
There's a lot of things, yeah.
Like a secret hidden kingdom.
Secret hidden world kingdom.
It's more advanced.
But like, if you map the roles out, Aquaman, you know, Jason Momoa is the Killmonger in the... Mm-hmm. In the Black Panther scenario, because he's the guy who was raised outside the culture who wants to come in and fix the culture that he wasn't raised in.
He doesn't want to go in and fix it. He's being reluctantly dragged into it.
Sure, sure. And then, but yeah, in Black Panther, the guy who was raised to lead is the one who's supposed to lead. It's just interesting that juxtaposition, I thought.
Well, then Orm is also more scorched earth, like Killmonger is. Yeah. Like,
it's not a one-to-one situation.
I just thought it was an interesting comparison.
No, but there is always that similarity to Atlantis, to Wakanda, to Gorilla City. You know, there's that hidden society that is well ahead of the outside world and should not be messed with.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun, and the audience was into it. They cheered when he got on the seahorse at the end and rode it into battle.
Yes.
And then they cheered at the end when he did the silly jump out of water into the sunset. I mean, it's silly, but... I thought it was a fun time, and I'm going to have a really hard time rating it.
I thought you did a decent job with him talking to Animal's Power.
Yeah, so we didn't need the flashback to him as a kid at the very end.
At the aquarium? Or
Well, when he finally talks to the animal using his power, then we, for some reason, flash back to him as a kid in the aquarium. It's like, I don't need to see that. I saw that already.
It was like, I get it.
I know what he's doing. It's pulsating.
I don't think a sand tiger shark could crack their enclosure, no matter how hard they tried.
I'm very angry.
Aquarium don't really use glass anymore. That's okay.
I was about to say, here's one thing where Black Panther does it better. Black Panther does it better in most instances between the comparison of these two. But one thing that I think Aquaman should have learned from Black Panther, you don't have to have the two characters get together romantically.
But this is Arthur and Mara, though.
Well, I mean, but...
I did like the whole, like, what was the plan again after the kiss? Because,
I mean, this is true.
That was a good kiss. That was, you know, but like, I don't know. I just think she can do better.
It was a good kiss. I don't know that
she
it
can't
needed,
do better than Arthur. He's king of Atlantis.
Station. Yeah.
I wanted her to get together with Willem Dafoe.
They Willem did Dafoe, share.
Like, he's like Merlin. He's great. He's like, and I love that Willem Dafoe didn't get killed. I love that he was able to stick around.
Yeah. What I did like in terms of the design was that for most people have their hair pulled back in like a bun or something, so they wouldn't.
Yeah, it's just a yeah.
It's little things positive. Like that that was fun. And then when they weren't, I liked that the hair actually moved in the water, even if it. I didn't really think about the physics of it, but at least they made the consideration that the hair would be moving underwater, even if nothing else underwater makes sense.
Watching this movie really made me wish that the people making the Expanse TV show had this budget. Because I want to see an Expanse show or movie that looks this good.
Can I ask one science question?
Please. Brian?
Oh, God.
Quick one. Okay. So I just something that I thought about. Can you...
Talk underwater?
Can you... No. Can you shoot... Like in a submarine like that?
Shoot guns?
Yeah, like wouldn't it just like bounce around?
It probably would. I don't know much about submarines. I think there are guns on submarines.
Yeah. They have soldiers on submarines. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like shooting in a plane. I mean, it's metal, but it doesn't mean it's not like bulletproof.
It's just weird to think about somebody shooting like a rocket launcher in a submarine.
I mean, it's a bad idea. It's not a good idea.
Yeah, the grenades seemed dumb.
But Arthur absorbed most of the blast. But at one point when they knocked over a torpedo, I was like, ooh. I mean, I realize it's not armed, but still, it's a giant explosive. I liked that bit. I thought Michael Beach as the Mantis father was good. I know he was almost a better
Just
villain.
Just take the grenade out of his hand before he arms it. he's being crushed.
Also,
take the grenade out of his hand.
Wouldn't the water then lift the torpedo off his body?
You would think it would be pretty easy to lift once the water had filled up most of the chamber, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, well, just wait for the water to come and then push it up.
But he coughed, and we all know what it means when a character coughs on screen. It means they're going to die. No one has ever survived
and
a cough.
He already gave him the knife. He already
gave him
down.
The knife.
Do we have any more overall thoughts on the movie?
I think it's a crazy movie, and it's a lot of fun to think about and talk about. And I wonder how it's going to do and if we're going to see an Aquaman 2.
Well, it's already destroying all records in China, which we all know is the most important market for these movies. So it's already outgrossed all other DC movies, including Wonder Woman, overseas.
I didn't know if it would be hurt by, you know, Spider-Verse is out and that's doing so well.
Spider-Verse is doing well here, but not as well overseas as Aquaman is.
Crazy. Okay.
So, ratings.
Ratings.
I've been thinking about this since I walked out of the movie. I have no idea what to do here.
2.
Out of 5, Ryan's going for 2.
2. I think this is not a good movie, but it's one of the best movies DC has made.
God.
I mean, I can't do a 4, because it's not a 4, but
It's a 3 or a 3.5.
I've been leaning towards 3.5. 3.5.
That's absurd. That's
like with tilt, I would say.
Well, it's 3.5 for charm.
Like I'm looking forward to getting this, you know, on Blu-ray and like having it on and like not paying attention to parts that I don't like and paying very close attention to parts that I do like.
Jason Momoa, Amber Heard, Willem Dafoe, Patrick Wilson are all really great. I mean, the cast Dolph Lundgren and Nicole Kidman. I liked her even. The cast is good, so for charm,
it's Morrison when he ditches the wig.
When he's older, he's great.
It's older,
old man
good.
Tom Curry is terrific, like and I love when they reunited. I was happy.
Is that Graham McTavish as the original
it
King?
It was
of
Graham McTavish.
Yeah,
and it really was. Their
I like that guy. That guy's neat.
So Paul and I are going for 3.5.
That's crazy high to me. Well, what do you guys? Is like Wonder Woman? What's Wonder Woman?
In like 6 months, I'll probably say a 3.
I think Wonder Woman was a 4.8 or 9 or something like that.
So is this the second best DC movie for you guys?
Of all time?
Of the DCEU or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Snyderverse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It might be number 3 for me.
It goes Wonder Woman, Aquaman.
That's it.
There's no other. They've made no other movies.
I think technically Man of Steel comes next in that lineup. But for me, Man of Steel might still be slightly better than Aquaman.
No, I would put Man of Steel at the bottom.
You have a Man of Steel over Aquaman?
Maybe.
You're crazy. I mean,
there's a similar amount of scenes in fishing villages in Maine. There's crazy world building with the Krypton stuff. I don't know. I liked like the 20-minute Krypton sequence. I liked some parts of it.
This celebrates like, if not Aquaman's distinct character, the world of Aquaman, like Atlantis, this really, it celebrates that stuff and that wider world.
But Paul, on my world, it means hope.
Ugh.
Man of Steel is, oh my God. I was the most depressed I've ever been in a movie.
Wonder Woman, Aquaman.
And I knew
Justice
I had to write
League, review. Batman v Superman, Man of Steel. That's my ranking.
Man
so
of Steel
far.
Is the very bottom?
Yes, for sure.
That's so wild to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, Batman versus Superman has the drowning horses monologue, which was like I was in a fugue state. I was like, I had zoned out. I was just like thinking about how bad the movie was. And then I resurfaced to realize that he's talking about drowning horses. What is this movie? Like, this is not Superman.
All right. So if you want to talk about Aquaman, you go to ifanboy.com. There'll be posts for this show. You can find our other special edition shows from the last couple of weeks, our Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse review show, in which me and Ryan and Josh Flanagan reviewed that movie, and also, of course, our all-media year-end roundup. We have over 3 hours of discussions of some of our favorite things in media this year. All those things are available for you to enjoy until we return with the Pick of the Week show in the beginning of January.
Everybody go see The Favorite.
Anything to plug? Any shows? Any special year-end shows favorite. For you guys?
I'll go ahead and plug Science Order, the podcast I do, in particular because an episode coming out soon, I'm still editing it right now, is my interview with a whale paleontologist, Nick Pyenson, who just wrote the book Spying on Whales. So if people are interested in underwater realms and what we know about them and how we research them, that's going to be a good episode to check out. And then because I think this is going to be the last time I'm on the podcast for the year, I just wanted to thank all the iFanboy listeners out there for a wonderful year of talking about comics with my buddies.
I would iFanboys like to...
Really supportive community, and I really appreciate how awesome everyone is and how much they give us back for doing this program.
I'd like to reiterate that 100% and thank the iFan base for being so supportive of, I had two books come out this year. My first two comics came out this year. So The Margins, which you can grab at Comixology or at themarginscomic.com. It's also on Amazon. You can grab it there, but we get more money for it, I think, when you get it at the other places.
Sure.
But then also Dreadnought Legends, which edited by our buddy Connor here. That was an awesome experience. There's a ton of reviews in Comixology, so thank you so much. And I'm still getting comments on it on social media. Thank you for checking it out and giving this a shot. Here's to a big 2019.
So until then, I'm going to go... I don't have an Aquaman joke.
You're going to go sleep with the fishes.
That's a mobster joke.
Okay, well, there's no mafia, so we can now use it for Aquaman.
Let's just end the year out on the most awkward way possible. I'm Connor.
I'm Paul.
I'm Ryan. Aloha and aloha.
I know beyond a doubt my heart will lead me there soon. We'll meet, I know we'll meet beyond the shore. We'll kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sailing. No more sailing, so long sailing, bye-bye sailing. Move on out, Captain.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which, again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people, and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened. But it can be tough to deal with. And also, one of the things is, like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.